As you have read over the last several weeks, our theme is a bit of a tongue twister, but it's one I hope that will be in your heart and be in my heart for this year, but not just this year, but moving forward. Really, the emphasis is on that very first word, truth. Truth. You think about that word even in our day that we're living, and for me, whenever I hear the word truth, I always go back to Pilate. I don't know why. You remember Pilate? He asked the Lord Jesus a question. And if you don't remember, that's okay. But for some reason, that's what I always go back to. And he asked the Lord Jesus, "What is truth?" You can look that up sometime. I don't even have the reference right now on top of my head. It's okay. What is truth? You know, I think about that even right now as that word truth. In a sense, in some people, it changes all the time, doesn't it? That's not truth. Truth never changes, if it's truth, right? I looked up the word truth in the dictionary, and the word truth there said of the word truth, the true or actual state of a matter, a verified or indisputable fact. Proposition or principle. A verified or indisputable fact, proposition or principle. Here we see in the beginning of the church, as we've already studied through the book of Acts, and we're getting into Acts 20-something here, we will be later on, maybe even next Sunday, we'll see, but at the beginning of the start of the church, here we see in verse 19, the Bible says that Peter and John are in this text, and they have a statement that they have been seeing God do some mighty miracles and amazing works. They have seen the start of the church, and there's some things that they have seen. There's some things that they have heard, and it's really bubbling, if you will. It's bubbling over. He says, we can't help it. We can't help but talk about it. We can't help but speak about it. In the sense of truth, obviously we find truth in the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. John 17:17 tells us. As I think about this word truth, I wrote down several introductory statements. The first one is this: truth is only effective to the extent it is heard. Truth is only effective to the extent that it is heard. I have heard in recent days people making statements like this, and I agree with it. This group of people believes a certain way because it's all they've ever heard. People have gone this way in religion because it's all they've ever heard. Now, whether they are following the truth or not, they're following what they've heard. And truth is only effective. I'm talking about truth. Now, when we talk about truth, again, I want you to always think with us today at Anchor Baptist Church, we're not talking about necessarily just what the pastor says. And I pray that God will help me in 2022 to speak the truth and speak it in love. But we're talking about what God's Word says. And we're still fallible men, aren't we? We're still fallible ladies. This is the infallible Word of God. And we want to rightly divide it. So truth is only effective to the extent it is heard. Second thing I thought of, and it goes right along, these are statements going right along with our theme. Truth is only effective to the extent it is believed. You've heard this statement before. They let it go in one ear and out the other. Now, did they hear it? Well, yes, to an extent, they heard it, but they didn't believe it. So the elementary idea of this truth is that we want everyone to hear the truth, don't we? Why do we give to missions? Because we want people in other provinces, in our country, up in West Kelowna, even right here in our own province, and in all across Canada. We want people to hear the truth. Why do we give to foreign missions and around the world? Because we want people to hear the truth, because without hearing the truth, faith cannot come. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So truth is only effective to the extent it is heard. Secondly, truth is only effective to the extent it is believed. We're not just wanting people to hear the truth. We're wanting people to believe the truth. The good thing about this is, I say the good thing, but the thing to remember is it's not our responsibility to force people to believe. I think I have it written in here somewhere that is not the job of the deliverer. That is the job of the Holy Spirit of God. Every man, woman, and child have a free will. You can receive and believe and so forth, or you can reject. And that's not our responsibility. So truth is only effective to the extent it is heard. Truth is only effective to the extent it is believed. And thirdly, truth is only effective to the extent it is delivered. If I've got the solution to someone's problem and I'm unwilling to tell them what the solution is, wow. It's not going to help them if I keep it in my pocket. If I don't deliver the solution, and I'm not necessarily talking about spiritual things right now, although we could be talking about spiritual things as well. Now, the truth has been and always will be, I'm talking about this truth right here that we hold in our hands, God's Word, it has been and always will be under attack by the world system. Now, on Wednesday night, we talked about the world system, 1 John 2, 15-17, part 1. We'll hopefully get part 2 this Wednesday. But this world system has attacked and will always attack truth. And remember, who is behind the system of this world? Satan. Satan is under the control of the system of this world. And so Satan is using this world system, and Satan has his demons, and Satan has other people that are under his power. And his objective is to distract people from truth. His objective is to destroy the opportunity for people to hear, to receive, to believe, and if then to deliver the truth. Go with me in your Bible, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 34. We'll turn to several verses now in God's Word, Exodus chapter 34, and verse number 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. By the way, thank God for all these. Thank God for His mercy. What is the mercy of God? Not getting what we deserve. Talked about that this morning in our devotional that we sent out on email. But God's mercy does not last forever for some. Judgment will come. But oh, may we praise God for His mercy today. And as a believer, as a Christian, I'm so thankful that I will never experience one millisecond of hell. Never. Why? How do you know that, Pastor Turner? How do you mean you're so confident? Because I'm confident in the truth. I'm not confident in me. I know I fail. I know I fail miserably. And by the way, to saying it lovingly, I know all of you fail too. And I know all of you at home fail. We all fail. We're but flesh. But I know this book never fails. And I know Jesus never fails. And I know heaven and earth may pass away, but I know Jesus never fails. So God's mercy, not getting what I deserve. What's God's grace? God's grace is getting what I don't. I don't deserve to breathe one millisecond of heaven's air. You don't deserve to breathe one millisecond of heaven's air. But because of the grace of God, when we turn to Jesus for salvation and we repent of sin and turn to Jesus for salvation, then by God's grace, we are given something, eternal life. And by the way, don't forget, you're not giving it when you die. You're giving it right then. I have eternal life today. If you're saved, you have eternal life now. It is a present possession. The Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. Notice, what is the Lord? He is abundant in goodness. Oh, I'm thankful for that. The goodness of God. What is it? Think about that verse. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Thank God for His goodness. But notice what it says. Not only is He abundant in goodness, but He's also abundant in what? Truth. Truth. He's the source of truth. Turn over a few pages in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy in chapter 32. I hope you have a daily reading time. A daily reading time of the Word of God. Every Christian needs to read the Bible every day. You say, I don't know how to read. Maybe you're 4 years old, or I guess, I don't know when you learn how to read. I forgot when they learn how to read. When do you learn how to read? Anyway, you got some young ones here today. They probably don't know how to read, but they have parents that know how to read. Right? And so let's read God's Word every day. Deuteronomy 32:4. 32:4. God's Word said, He is the rock. Capital R-O-C-K. His work is perfect. Wow. Think of that. The work of God is perfect. You know, don't let the enemy think that whatever God's doing in your life in 2022, that God's taking a nap. God doesn't take a nap. Whatever God's doing in my life and your life, it's perfect. It's perfect. For all His ways are judgment. Notice Deuteronomy 32:4. He is a God of what? Truth. Without what? Iniquity. You can't find anything wrong with God. He's never made a mistake, and He never will begin to make a mistake. And the Bible says, just and right is He. Truth. The blessing of this thought in 2022 is that we have the truth as believers. We have something worth delivering. Now let's go to the New Testament book of John, please. John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. Long introduction today, okay? And then a long message. No, I'm just kidding. There won't be any long message. Well, maybe there will be. Who knows? Look at John 1:12. It's a verse you ought to memorize if you haven't. Because if there's a sub-verse to our theme, it's John 1:12. Kind of, you want to Acts 4:20, and then John 1:12 goes right along with it. Notice what God's Word says. But as many as received Him, who's Him? Jesus Christ. To them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Received and believed, John writes here. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We are not born again of our good deeds. We are not born again of our merit. We are not born again by our righteous living, but we are born again by the will of God, by the power of God. And the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here we have an example that we have been given in God's Word, that we are now the children of God because we received His Word and we believed His Word. Now go with me to Romans chapter number 10, please. Romans chapter number 10. A verse that is maybe used during a missions conference. And you might say that is our theme of 2022, and really, if you want to boil it down to one word. But here we have the Apostle Paul writing to Christians in Rome. And that famous verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But now we're going to read three questions. Three questions. Here they are. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not, what's that word, church? Believed. How can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not what? Heard. But here's the big one. How shall they hear? Remember what we said in the beginning of this message. It is of the utmost importance that people hear the truth. Again, so many today are caught up in a mess, but they're caught up in a mess because it's all they've ever heard. How shall they hear without a preacher? Without a preacher. You see, all three themes of our one theme in 2022 there, we have the hearing of it, or the receiving of it, that would be the hearing of it. We have the believing of it, but then we have the delivering of it as well. Turn to Psalm 40, and I don't apologize, but I have a method that we're on today, and I know I'm all over here in the Bible sometimes is a bit confusing, and I don't want it to be that way, and I'm praying it's not that way, but I'm hoping that God's Word, I'm praying that God's Word will be what makes the difference always in our life. I came across this passage just this week. And it's as if the words were highlighted in my Bible, as you've heard people say that before, or maybe the words jumped off the page. You ever really thought about that? It'd be a bad thing if they jumped off the page, because then you wouldn't be able to read them anymore. But anyway, I know what that means. I've probably said it before. But notice verse 8, Psalm 40. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Notice. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest. I like this next statement. Very powerful. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. You're saved today. You have something in you that should not be hid. The psalmist says, I have, what's the next word? Declared. I have not hid thy right. I have not hid thy truth. I have not hid thy goodness. I have not hid thy mercy. All on and on it goes. The psalmist says, I haven't hid it. Instead, the psalmist is saying what really God is challenging me with in this 2022 theme. He says, I have declared. What does it mean to declare? It means to deliver. It means to make something known. We cannot just hide God's Word in our heart, although we need to hide God's Word in our heart, but it's not hidden in our heart just for the sake of hiding it. It's hidden in our heart for the sake of declaring it or for delivering it. He says, I have declared thy faithfulness and thy what? Salvation. Psalm 40, verse 10. Oh man, mark it. Let it mark our life this year. I have declared thy... Hey, we're not delivering a message about us. We're not delivering a message about Anchor. Hey, let me tell you about Anchor Baptist Church. I mean, blah, blah, blah. No, we're delivering a message about our holy, almighty God. We're delivering a message about the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. We're delivering a message about the bright and morning star. We're delivering a message about the rose of Sharon. We're delivering a message about the one that has no beginning and no ending. I am Alpha and Omega. Not delivering a message about us. Love what the psalmist said. I'm delivering, I'm declaring your righteousness. I'm declaring your salvation. I just thought and meditated on that word, that verse. Oh boy, notice this. I have not concealed thy loving kindness. You know what it means to conceal something, right? Some people, I know it's not necessarily talked about a whole lot here in Canada, but, you know, concealed weapon. People have licenses to have those in other countries. What does it mean? It means you can't see it. It's concealed. It's hidden. I've got it, but it's concealed. And yet the psalmist says, I have not hidden your loving kindness. Think about how good God has been to us. His loving kindness to us. His goodness to us. The psalmist says, I have not concealed it. Notice, but not only have I not concealed thy loving kindness, but here it is, here it is. And thy truth. I have not concealed thy loving kindness. I haven't left it. I haven't just tucked it away in my pocket and thought, you know, God's been so good to me. No, I've told everybody else how good God's been to me. And I haven't just concealed thy loving kindness. But then he says, I have not concealed thy truth from thy great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Verse 11, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. I found some writing about this particular text, and it says, God shows his righteousness and faithfulness to his people in his offer of salvation. David boldly proclaimed this to those around him. When we feel the impact, listen to this, when we feel the impact of God's righteousness on our lives, we cannot keep it hidden. I'm reminded of the hymn, we've a story to tell to the nations. We cannot keep it hidden. Here it is. We want to tell other people what God has done for us. If God's faithfulness has changed your life, don't be timid. Oh, has God's faithfulness ever changed our life? Yes, it has. Oh, has God's mercy changed our life? Yes, it has. But I don't want it to stop with me. I want it to go to the uttermost. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I want God's grace to be known by those who even maybe don't know the gospel yet. They know a little bit about Jesus, or maybe they've heard his name, but they don't know him like you know him and I know. When we've experienced that impact on our life, it's impossible to keep it hidden. It is natural, it is only natural to share a bargain with someone. Did you see the deal over here at such and such store? You know, that's only natural to talk about that. If you've got a really good family doctor and somebody says to you, you know, I'm looking for a family doctor, it's only natural for us to say, well, my family doctor is tremendous. How much more should I be sharing with others what God has done in my life? How much more should I be sharing with others what I have seen and heard? Now, let's go back to our text, Acts 4, please. Acts 4. For we, Peter and John, for we, Ben Turner, for we, Pastor Nathan, for we, fill in the blank. You're part of the we if you're saved. I'm part of the we. For we, Peter and John must speak of the things which they had seen and heard. They had to. Why did they have to? Well, there was an inner compulsion of the Holy Spirit of God telling them, you need to speak. Did you know that, and I don't mean to, I'm not trying to be talked down to you at all, so please don't think that, but do you remember, have we forgotten maybe? I don't think so. That when you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came to indwell you? The Holy Spirit of God came to indwell me. The Holy Spirit of God is living inside of me today, and God who loves lost people toward me. Voice feels a lot stronger than it did on Wednesday, praise God. Those lost people that I come across and you come across, the Holy Spirit of God is in me and in you and is saying, you've already received and you've already believed, but are you delivering? You cannot help but speak the things that we have seen or heard. But also, remember what Acts 1:8 says. Acts 1:8 says, and ye shall. Don't we love that word shall? I like it really good in Romans 10:13, don't you? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder today, are you saved? I wonder today, if today is your day for dying, you say, well, Pastor Turner, that's really sobering. Well, yes, it is, but no one knows when it's coming. If the Lord, it is appointed unto men once to die. And I just ask you this question, I don't mean to be rude, but are you ready to die? Are you ready to die? I'm ready to die. I don't want to die, but I'm ready to. I hope God has a few more days left for me. Whatever He has is fine, but for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you shall call, you shall be saved. If you do accept Christ as Savior, you will be saved. But it also says in Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses. So it wasn't just that there was this inner compulsion, although that is big for them, that they said, we cannot but speak the things we've seen and heard. But because they knew that they knew Acts 1:8. It was a command. It was a command of Almighty God. They did not originate the message, and neither did you, or neither did I. Praise the Lord for that. You see, we're not delivering a message that we heard from another man. We're delivering a message that we heard from God. Think about that. You know how messages can get changed. You know, if I told Joshua a message, and I said, tell it to your dad, and he told it to Matthew, and Matthew told it to Emma, and Emma told it to David, by the time it got back there to Brother Allen, I can tell you what. It might be adjusted slightly. By the time it went through all these people and got to Alan. But you know what? I'm not delivering a message to Joshua. I'm not delivering a message to Brother Alan that will change at all. Why? Because I'm delivering a message that is truth. And truth never changes. And we've got some more mature people here today that might be up into their 60s. And we've got a two-year-old here today. Or a one-year-old, pardon me. We've got a one-year-old. The point is this, the truth must be delivered to every generation. It doesn't change from 2022, and we go back in time. The truth in 2000 was still the truth. And if the Lord tarries His coming and we get to 2023, the message of truth still needs to be delivered. It did not originate with me. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, right? So the message is not man-initiated. The truth is not initiated. Hey, let me tell you what I heard. No, yes, let me tell you what the truth says. It didn't originate with Peter and John. No, they merely relate it as reliable eyewitnesses. This truth, this faith was once delivered. Go with me to the book of Jude, please. The book of Jude. First and Second Peter. First and Second, Third John. Jude. Thank you for your attention. Online group, thank you for your attention. I hope God is speaking to you through His Spirit. If you're not saved, I really pray that God is speaking to you to get saved today. Today could be the day of your salvation. Beloved, when I gave all diligence, verse 3, Jude 3, of course only one chapter, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Notice, which was once delivered unto the saints. Once delivered unto the saints. Now, I believe we're delivering today the same truth that was once delivered in Jude's day. But as I said a moment ago, the truth must be delivered once in every generation. So the truth was delivered in Jude's day, but that doesn't help me today. Now, it's there. I'm not saying the Bible doesn't help me. I'm just saying that for me, the application to this is not simply that it was delivered for Jude and for the disciples and for the early church and Jerusalem and on it went and spread out all over the place, Antioch and so forth, but the truth must be delivered today in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our community. So who is going to deliver it? Who's going to deliver it? Well, those who have received it. Those who have believed it. There are many who have received but have yet to believe. That's why we keep praying for people to get saved. Think about all the 250,000 gospel tracts that went out last year. That's 250,000 seeds that went out all over. 250,000. They're sitting somewhere. Some of them probably got recycled. But I pray that some of them are still sitting in a home, still sitting in an apartment, still sitting in a car. In recent days, we were given the contact of a gentleman in North Vancouver. I won't mention his name online, but we were praying. We've been praying for him. He received one of the John and Romans. That is received. John and Roman came into his possession, and it's a gentleman who was trying to figure out life, trying to figure out God's direction. He didn't really know God. He doesn't know the one true God yet, but he was just trying to figure it out, and all of a sudden he gets this booklet. That's receiving truth. Now, he may not know that it's truth, but he's received it. It's in his hands. And the Holy Spirit of God takes the receiving of it, or the hearing of it, if you will, and he begins to work, and this gentleman sends an email to the Bearing Precious Seed Canada. And he says, I got one of your booklets, but I need one in Farsi. Do you have one in Farsi? And the communication went back and forth, and his email address and name ended up Anchor Baptist Church, because we have a good number of people that we love that speak Farsi, don't we? And we connected him with good friend of mine who is doing a lot of online work with people from all over the world, Afghanistan, Iran, and so forth. Now, this gentleman has yet to believe. Please keep praying for him. He hasn't believed yet, but he's continuing to receive. Hours of teaching. Again, he's only received one thing in his life, and it's about religion. You probably know the religion I'm talking about. Whether it's that one or whether it's even one that even says they're a Christian group, what we sometimes, again, all we ever receive, that's what we end up believing. But pray for this gentleman. Get saved. Unfortunately, though, there are many times that we do not speak the things which we have seen and heard. Why does this happen? How can someone whose life has been changed, like me, like you, how can we not deliver truth? I don't know how far I'm going to go in this because of time, but I'd like to start into it, okay? Turn in your Bible, please, to Proverbs 29. And really, this is something God is challenging me about in my own personal life. Proverbs 29. I keep squinting because I'm trying to be respectful of everyone's time, and I just can't see the clock very good back there. I was reading someone's post the other day. I think it was on Twitter, and a pastor that I follow, and he put a picture of a clock on his post and said, "This was the clock at the back of the auditorium where I was preaching this week, and all the numbers were down at the bottom of the clock, and it said, 'Who cares? Preach the word.'" I thought, now there's a clock for a church. You know, forget the clock, right? And I'd never seen anything like that before. But, you know, I do. We try to, anyway. Proverbs 29, 25. Here it is. The number one reason. Possibly, I don't know. Maybe this is not the right order, but the fear of man. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made safe. How many times have we not delivered the truth because of the fear of man? I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure it'll happen again. But I'm praying that God would give me the grace. I'm praying that God would convict me to trust in Him, not fear man. Because 2 Timothy 1:7 tells me that God hath not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I think one of the main problems we have in fulfilling what God is speaking to me about, and I'm trying to convey my heart to you today, is that, hey, let's thank God for the receiving of it. The box is checked. I love how that was designed there. And let's thank God that we didn't just hear it, we believed it. But I hope we can check off that third box, that third circle. We would be faithful to deliver it. Fear. You know, another reason why I don't deliver the gospel like I ought to is little or no faith. Little or no faith. Matthew's gospel, chapter 8. Oh, it won't matter. They won't receive it. Even that's not even my responsibility, but my responsibility is to try to deliver it. Look what it says in Matthew 8, 26. And he saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. There was a great calm. I know it isn't in the context of sharing the gospel with someone, but here is Jesus in the boat with the disciples, and there's a great storm. I think the application can be made in our life that as we go into this world in which we live, we do not go alone. We go with the Holy Spirit, amen? We go with a portion of the Trinity going with us. So why are we so fearful? We have little faith. Turn over to Luke 18. So it's a fear of man. It's possibly little to no faith. Here's one that I mentioned to Pastor Nathan, and he mentioned it as well, that a message that I heard preach over the last couple of weeks, Luke 18, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. But notice the second, the statement, and not to faint. You know why some of us here today at times, and I'm not trying to be unkind, I'm just trying to share my heart with you, and really this has been preached to me for the last year even, why I don't deliver the truth sometimes, it's because I fainted. I'm not talking about physical fainting, I'm talking about a spiritual fainting. And why do we faint spiritually? It's right here. Because we're not praying. We're not praying enough. Say, "Oh, I'm praying," but we're not praying enough, because the Bible says here, if you are praying always, you won't faint. God, help us to pray more for people that need to be hearing the truth, and people that need to be receiving the truth, believing the truth, and being delivered. I wonder if it's because we really don't believe in a literal hell. Could that be a reason we don't deliver the truth? The message last Sunday morning, which was preached in 2020, talked about that. I hope you listened to that. If you didn't, listen to it. There is a hell, but why wouldn't we deliver the truth? Some might say, well, Pastor Turner, I'm not delivering the truth because my Bible knowledge is really low. By the way, don't be deceived by the devil on that one. I've never went to Bible college. I never did this. I never... Look, the devil is trying to convince us that we do not know enough of the Bible, so we should just let someone else deliver the truth. No. If you're saved, you have plenty of knowledge to deliver the truth. If you're on your way to heaven, you have a testimony. You have enough knowledge to deliver the truth that was delivered to you. We should be students of the Word of God. Yes. Don't let the devil deceive you to the point that because you don't feel qualified, folks, it's not about you or me. It's about the Holy Ghost that lives in us. God's Spirit qualifies us. God's Spirit empowers us. Turn to one more passage, Isaiah chapter 50. I leave you with this as an admonition. As we continue to dwell and think about this thought of truth received, truth delivered, truth believed, truth delivered. I love what the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 50 and verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Amen? I don't know. I'm nervous. I'm timid. I'm an introvert. Hey, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. I'll have a sound mind. Therefore, because God will help me, I will set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. Church, remember, I know God will help me. The whole thing that God is really challenging us in 2022 is that we, wherever we are on this list, maybe today you're just now receiving, you're just hearing the gospel clearly given, and it's not about me, but it's about this book. And you're just hearing the truth of the gospel maybe for the first time or second time. And maybe you're online and you've never even believed that Jesus Christ could save you. But today, you are receiving truth. Now you can believe truth. It's up to you. I can't twist your arm. I can't sell you on it. I can deliver it. Wherever we are on this, I pray that we would seek to advance to the next step. And I know that in this crowd, and I don't know who all's with us online, but maybe I'm speaking to 75 or 85% who have already received and then believed, but now we need to start delivering. Or keep delivering. Or delivering it more. Wherever you are on the journey, may we set our face like a flint and not be ashamed. Paul said, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of grace, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.